Hi, I'm Timmy.
And I'm Mary Jane. He's the newbie.
She's the doobie. And this is the show
where
we
tote cannabis.
Talk.
From both sides.
Is that even possible?
This podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are solely their own and not intended to apply to another's personal situation. You should always consult with a qualified, licensed physician or other healthcare provider. By watching or listening to this podcast, you acknowledge you are of legal age to purchase and consume cannabis in your country or region. This podcast is for adults only, should not be used as a meal replacement, and may contain nuts.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Newbie and the Doobie. I'm Timmy. I am the newbie.
My name is Mary Jane, and I am the doobie. On today's episode, we have a lot of stuff coming up.
We absolutely do.
Starting with the word of the week. I can't even get my word of the moment out.
And today's high five list.
High five.
High five.
We also have Mary Jane Strain.
Our Duber Minute, which is a new segment.
Ooh, and what gets me going?
And then we'll be ending strong with Timmy discussing Dare.
Oh, is that because it's Dare Day?
It is Dare Day.
I knew this.
Well, I know. We talked about it. We do prep for these shows, for those of you who do not know. It is Dare Day.
But normally I forget. I forget what day it is when
it
is the
day. But it's never the weed.
No, I just don't care.
Right?
I just don't care. That's the thing. I don't care what day it is.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel about a ton of stuff. People are like,
it's day one.
How did you not see? It's always day one.
That's all.
Actually, that is something to be aware of, everybody. Today is day one.
And not like in the manner of like school when they were like, yeah, it's a day one or a day two. Like, I have gym today. No.
Nope. It's always
day
one.
Every day is a day one.
Well, it's how we live our life, right?
You mean we, as in you and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's day one. Every day is a chance to start again, you know, you know, whether it be through for
what? I'm sorry. You can't sit there in that onesie and talk philosophically.
I absolutely can. This is exactly how the philosophers would dress.
I can't even.
Well, I'm not taking it off, so you're going to have to listen to my philosophical thing later. It's always day one, fresh start.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, to be fair, some of you might be wondering, Timmy, why are you wearing a unicorn outfit? That's a fair question.
I was wondering that myself a little bit.
Right? And right,
like,
now,
why are you wearing my unicorn onesie in that?
It was the only thing I could find in the closet. Now, you realize that there is an audience out there that's listening on podcast form, and I'm just going to tell you once again, this is a TV show that happens to be on podcast.
Yes.
So if you're listening to us on podcast, that's amazing. We hope we share it with lots of cool stuff. But understand that if you really want the full Timmy and MJ experience.
Yes. What an experience.
Right?
you got to go to YouTube. Yeah, you got to see this.
The newbie and the doobie. This is one of, actually.
You look very horny.
Well, it's been a long day.
Long. Dead silence.
That's always good
for
radio.
So, Timmy, why are
you
wearing
that? I want to say this first. About this. This is your unicorn onesie. And I will answer why I'm wearing it. But understand this. Our director, producer, audio editor,
master of all
setup and design, yeah. And the person who puts images on our images.
They literally do everything.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we literally can't do the show without him. And yes, we know he's listening right now, and we're hoping to make sure that he gives us hugs at the end. But, you know,
socially distanced
hugs. We'll do kind of virtual hugs. But anyways, he commented how this was clearly a high-end unicorn onesie.
Okay.
And we both, I said, yes, it is. I mean, and in all ways, I mean, it is, this is so, I'm, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to wear it.
I do have an addiction to both onesies and unicorns.
You have, yes.
Rainbows, and you're literally wearing all three.
I had three unicorn onesies to choose from today.
You did, and they're all a multitude of rainbow colors.
Now, this I feel is a good choice, though. I particularly like this one.
It is. It is the brighter of, I think it's the brightest of all three.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey,
and the mohawk, the mohawk thing on the back. Look, you got to turn your head so people can see in the camera here. It's really, it looks awesome.
And as a side note as well, I think I sent you a meme,
which I thought shared was, it actually, yes, on our story.
Tell them, because we're on unicorn theme right now, just okay. Mention the
great news. Cannabis is responsible for just as many deaths as unicorns stabbing people with their horns.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, as far as I know, 8 people have been killed by unicorns.
No, that's a lie. It's 0.
Okay. I don't, yes. All right. There's no way to really back that information.
Unicorns don't kill.
We don't know that.
No, they don't.
There is no evidence.
Their horn physically cannot penetrate.
How do you know?
Because it's magical.
Right.
It's so, like a cloud. It's there, but when you touch it, it's not.
It's not. Interesting. Well, let's answer the question, since that question is going to be unanswerable, let's answer the question of why am I wearing it? And some of you might be thinking, because clearly it's Dare Day. And so Mary Jane has dared Timmy to wear a unicorn outfit during this podcast.
Nope.
No.
I had no idea.
I'm simply wearing it because. Now, here's the thing about Dare. We knew Dare Day was coming up, and so we had talked about dares. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that we couldn't even really think of things to dare each other to do because dares come in two forms. One is that they are incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
Or things that are embarrassing. Yes. And the reality is that you and I have...
Or just gross.
Yeah. But you and I have one thing in common, and that is... it's very difficult to embarrass us. In fact, we just did an episode where we were just wearing towels.
That's true.
By choice.
That's true.
Right?
And I mean, I'm pretty sure Flag Day is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who knows? We could wear flags.
Who knows? You might want to stay around for that. So this is just simply by choice. But here's the thing about dares. I have seen a lot of people, you and I have talked about this, and I'm sure a lot of people listening and watching will understand this. There is this segment of the population out there that feels it's a male population.
Okay.
Usually drunk.
Okay.
That feels that they are going to entertain the world and each other by voluntarily kicking each other in the nuts.
Okay. I was a little hesitant when you said men. I was like, okay, where is he going with this?
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah, women can't do that.
No. They laugh about this thing, and I think it is ridiculous. It's so, I don't even know how to describe it.
Well, you have to be drunk in order to not feel your balls getting crushed.
Well, I would imagine so. I think you'd have to be drunk to even pull off such a such an activity in general. Now, as far as I know, we do not know. I think you said there's as many unicorn sightings or whatever, or deaths, as there are cannabis deaths. I would say that there is as many unicorn deaths as cannabis deaths as cannabis users who, for fun, have kicked their friends in the nuts. Like, I just don't see that as a cannabis-driven activity. It's got to be alcohol-driven. I can't see that as a cannabis-driven activity.
No, it's so funny. My Nana, a long time ago, she said to me, you know, the kids come and they party in the field over there. And she says, every time they come, I can tell if they're drinking or they're smoking. She says, like, the kids were always different. But she could tell what they were doing because if they were loud...
Mm-hmm.
If they left garbage 9 times out of 10, It was empty beer cans and, you know, food wrappers, and they left all kinds of crap. Cannabis, she'd be like, yeah, those weed smokers, they're quiet. You see a little fire over there, and that's it. That's it.
Some little tom-tom drums.
Yeah, just like chilling by the fire, being all calm, because they don't want to get busted.
Right? It's like, hey.
Okay, we're not that slow.
Anybody want to kick me in the nuts?
No. No nut kicking.
But here's the thing about dares. This whole concept of dares is fascinating. These people get that they push themselves. And I'm not against extreme things. I'm not against the going to extreme. Like, say if someone said, hey, I dare you to go skydiving. That freaks some people out immensely. There are people out there that would even fathom going skydiving. Mm-hmm. But I went skydiving. And I went bungee jumping. Mm-hmm. And I ziplined down Fremont Street in Las Vegas. That's not exactly, you know, like
still
pushing
counts.
The limits,
you ziplined, and I've seen the photo. It looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it did look. I looked like James Bond. But
yeah, you're posing.
But here's the thing, though. So I'm not opposed against that, but I am against people who dare people to do things. And same with even drugs and alcohol. People who are.
The peer pressure.
They think it's funny to sit there and say, I dare you to drink that. To people who they know can't drink I dare you to drink five of those.
See,
and it's just, I think that's just dangerous and irresponsible and drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. I think daring people to do things is cool, but I also think there's lots of people out there doing stuff. It's like, don't dare people that are going to like possibly ruin their lives forever.
Well, see, that's my biggest problem with people who, anybody I've ever seen, they're like, here, come smoke a dab. You know, a dab, like in an oil rig with the, anyways.
No, but that's why I'm doing this show, because I want to learn these things.
So they would say, come smoke a dab. And I, you know, most of the times there are people like me, newbies to like concentrates and whatever. And I, they're like, oh yeah, you're new, eh? Imagine this is the bowl. And then they take like a massive piece and chunk and like put it in there. Really, you should have only had this big, but they want to see how much you can take. Mm-hmm. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I think there's limits.
Yeah. But, well, and we're also confined to a very small space, so it's not like we could really.
Well, no, I think that's the thing. Like, we had talked about, it's like, should we dare each other to do things during the show? And we were looking through lists of dares, and we're like, well,
a lot of them are good for visual, but not so much for audio and visual.
But we are trying to push the video a bit here, so.
This is true. But, so if anybody out there can think of any, like, dares that, because we were like,
Yeah, I don't know. Dare us to do something. Like I said, as long as it's not illegal.
I always used to pick truth. That's why nobody played
that game. Nobody played truth.
Everybody knows everything about me. I'm screwed. Because apparently I was the only one playing the game truthfully.
Everybody would try to play that game. My friend circle kind of gave that game up once they realized that nobody wanted to pick dare. Mm. Like, it was just kind of like, oh, that's kind of lame. Anyway, so not against the having fun of the dares, but I do think that there are certain things where it's like that. I don't think that's funny, nor should it be called for. But talking about some of the extreme stuff, and it's going to feed into my high five list today. But I do want to mention, because we mentioned my unicorn outfit, you've got a super cute toque on.
I do.
And it's talking about the extreme and going on adventures and doing things like that and pushing boundaries and like going to new things and do things, which I think is, that's positive daring. I dare you, if you are watching or listening today, I dare you to do something today you have never done. Doesn't have to be gross. Doesn't have to be illegal, but I dare you because it's day one.
But it does have to be safe.
It does have to be safe, but do something new. So I think that kind of connects. I think the concept behind the people that are embroidered on that beautiful toque yours.
Oh, right here. The the logo.
Talk about that.
Okay,
and this is not a paid advertisement, by the way.
No, anybody who knows me will know nobody's paying me for shit to talk about their shit. I've tried. Nobody wants to pay me. It's fine.
They will when this podcast explodes.
It's totally fine. I get it. I also have a couple businesses that I run for myself, and I don't want to go giving away a bunch of stuff for promo either. So anyways, I generally only promote things that I believe in, mm-hmm. Which is why you hear me talk so much about cannabis. And one of the companies—
And me about unicorns, but anyways.
Yes, you buy unicorns and the earth being flat. But yes.
I believe in that.
Yes. So the company, whose logo is right here, is High B&B. And I'm super excited because, I mean, in my stoner brain, I'm like, I had this idea years ago because I traveled and trying to find accommodations that are cannabis friendly. And by that, I mean, I don't want to consume cannabis in your unit. I just want to be able to smoke cannabis in my car and then come into the unit and be able to feel safe and sleep there and whatnot. And I've had hotels try to charge me for stinking the room up by saying I smoked in it when I only rolled a joint in it. You were with me one time when we got called by an Airbnb host that was like livid because he thought I smoked in his house when really I, once again, just rolled a joint.
Right.
And so this company, what they've done is they've created very nicely a space where people who have Airbnbs or like places that they would like to put or are already on Airbnb, if you'd like to, like if it's cannabis friendly, you need to provide a space for people like me to go and consume my cannabis, even if it's on the sidewalk, even if it's in the backyard, just have somewhere for us to go. And you put your listing up on HiBnB and people like me will look at your places and go, you know what? I think I'm going to go there. Mm. And it's not just accommodations. Just like Airbnb has like excursions, like mm-hmm. events and stuff like that, they also have things that you can do. So there's like a yoga class or there's a poker club or there's hiking in the park. There's a full multitude of different activities and places that you can go. And I'm specifically wearing the toque for today's episode because they are getting some really awesome, like a push into, I can't remember, is it the Shark Tank or the Dragon's Den that's here in Canada?
Dragon's Den is Canada.
Okay, so
Shark Tank stole our idea.
I think they're going in to see the dragons very shortly. And I personally would love to see as many activities and rental listings on that website as possible. So that way when they walk into the Dragon's Den, they can say, look at what we've built. Because honestly, this is what the cannabis space is requiring. We need a space where if we want to go to an event, you can hold it there. You know, if you want to do a comedy show, Timmy, mm-hmm. and you're willing to provide a space for people to consume before and after, you can post that on there.
Done.
Right?
Done, yeah.
So if I can say anything to anybody out there that's listening, please go check out HiBnB. Just like that. HiBnB.
This is not a paid advertisement, but we will take free merchandise from HiBnB in exchange for this promotion.
Oh, I won mine too. So I'm super happy.
Okay, so let's do my high five list.
Are we doing high five or are we doing word of the week first? We're switching it up today.
Oh,
are we not?
Yeah. It was just because we were talking about adventures and my high five list is about adventures.
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to take a break and do some education and then we'll go into
it. All right. Let's do word of the week.
Okay.
I was following the flow.
I know.
But it makes more sense like this. Believe it, folks. We actually mapped this thing out. It makes much more sense. Follow
along.
Well,
you mapped it out. So you should be okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't remember. So the word of the week is THC.
So is that a word or an abbreviation?
I knew you'd call me on that. Do you know what the word is?
Tetrahydrochloric acid.
No.
Did I get any of that right? Tetra?
Yeah, that's right.
Tetrahydra?
Hydro, yeah.
Tetrahydrochloroquine.
No.
Chloroforic.
No.
Chlorum.
Tetrahydrocannabinol.
Cannabinold.
Cannabinold. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Tetracabid. Yep.
Tetracabbage.
I suggest to the cannabis community right now that we refer to this word from now on as THC.
Little, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's so much shorter. I'm gonna probably trademark that. Okay. That seems a lot easier. So let's go with THC for the rest of this experiment.
So THC is the psychoactive compound in cannabis.
Right.
Right? It's one of the cannabinoids. So I'm gonna tell you how and why it's psychoactive.
Okay. The science behind it.
So when you consume THC, not THCA, but THC, it enters the bloodstream, binding itself to the CB1 and CB2 receptors. Now, the CB1 and CB2 receptors are part of our endocannabinoid system.
Okay.
What it does is it will stimulate the release of dopamine.
Dopamine is the the positive rush that you feel, right? When something gets you excited.
It's a sense of euphoria.
Yes.
So basically, when you smoke cannabis and it enters into the bloodstream, your endocannabinoid system then goes, hey, here's a burst of dopamine.
Okay.
So you feel good. And that's why THC makes you feel good.
So, because we've talked about this.
Or bad, depending on your...
Right, and it's the level of THC as well.
Yes, everybody has their own comfort level.
Right, okay. And that's why when you've talked to people and say, look, just use, say, CBD, which doesn't have the THC, so you can have the health side without getting the psychoactive...
Well, they're two different cannabinoids. CBD and THC.
Okay.
THC is psychoactive, where CBD is generally thought to be non-psychoactive.
But you can have cannabis without THC.
That is referred to as hemp.
Okay. Sweet.
Which is still a form of cannabis.
Which was, I believe, our word of the week, back in episode 3.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to learn about we're going to get into the science behind cannabis and what gets me going. So I don't want to jump too far ahead.
Fair enough.
THC.
THC, tetrahydrocannabinoid.
Cannabinol.
Ah, so close.
You know what? If you say it really fast and really confidently, it doesn't matter if you say tetrahydrocannabinoid or tetrahydrocannabinol, because they'll believe you no matter what. Chances are if you say it really quick and just push through.
That's the FACE principle. I've talked about that a lot. Yeah. Just talk fast, talk confidently, and people will believe what you say.
If anybody has heard me say tetrahydrocannabinol and then heard me say tetrahydrocannabinoid, I apologize, because only one of them is right.
That's right. It doesn't matter which one. They both actually would spell THC, technically.
That part is true.
So that's all true.
Okay.
So my high five list today. High five. So we're talking about dares and adventures. Now, I've gone skydiving, I've gone bungee jumping, or ran a marathon, but that's not exactly a thing.
That's a bucket list.
Yeah, these are bucket lists. But these here, my high five list today is, and they're not connected to cannabis at all. Usually I try to bring my high five list and connect with cannabis. But my high five list today was post-COVID bucket list.
Okay.
So these are five things that would be listed in some areas, some obviously different levels, kind of like THC, different levels of extreme, just like, you know, different levels of THC. Mm-hmm. Some people might go, what? That's not very, but if you know who I am and you realize that, you know, I'm on this growth curve of trying new things. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to hate roller coasters. Now I do roller coasters. And the first time I jumped out of that airplane, like, believe me, that was not, that wasn't like, you know, oh, Tim's always been a thrill seeker. That was like a, here we go.
In fact, I could die like this.
Yeah. So these are five things that are on my post-COVID bucket list.
Okay. Let's hear it.
It would be things where you're like, I dare you to do that. Okay, fine. I'm going to do these things.
Okay.
Number five, in order of extremeness, I believe, is zorbing. I want to go zorbing. You know zorbing?
No.
You go into these little plastic bubbles and you run around and like crash into the people.
Oh, I've done that.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to do that.
Every year at Waterfront, they used to do that.
Now, some people might say that's not very extreme, but there are other people out there that would be terrified. And so this isn't about, but this is something that I was like.
It's definitely not fun. I will tell you that.
I want to do it. I want to do it.
It's not fun.
No? I'm going to do it
anyway. Well, part of it is intriguing to you, the running full tilt at another person while they run at you? Or is it the being launched backwards when you hit that bigger person? I was going to say fatter person, that bigger person than you.
Yeah. So both of those things are intriguing. Number five. Number four on my list of post-COVID bucket list. Zip lining, like really zip lining through the trees.
Oh, like so
not in Vegas.
Niagara over the falls.
Oh, the fall. Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. Like okay. I don't want to go. I'm not talking like zip lining down Fremont in Vegas. I've done that. I'm not talking about going zip lining in like the West Edmonton Mall or something like that. I want to like going over the Grand Canyon.
So you don't want to zip line over people is what you're saying.
Or going over Niagara Falls or going down through trees in a forest.
Yeah.
That I would like to do that.
Okay.
Okay. Now, heights are not my favorite thing in the world, but I would love to do that. Number three on my list of Timmy's top five post-COVID bucket list is treetop trekking.
Oh, that's on mine.
Now, I know people who have done it, and I know people who have not enjoyed it, and they got halfway through it and said, get me out. And I know people who, you know, look up the first one and go, not going there.
Isn't part of treetop trekking zip lining?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I thought you just kind of walk over ropes and stuff.
Well, if it's not, I think they're missing out on an opportunity.
Maybe we should blend them together.
Because I would do the course if I knew there was a zip line.
Maybe there is. We should try it. So if you notice, though, see, like height is a big thing for me.
Yeah.
Then I want number two on my list of post-COVID bucket list is the edge walk at the CN Tower.
Another height thing.
When you're walking outside.
It's so funny. Do you have an issue with heights? I never
have really considered it or thought about it. But maybe inwardly I do. Like I can't ever imagine. I know I have a problem with small, tight spaces. Mm-hmm. But I like in terms of a really extreme claustrophobia, like I could hide in a laundry basket for hide and seek when I was young. But like really, really like where I feel like I could never climb through crevices
So you wouldn't go in a cave.
Well, that would depend. Well, I think I would now. Like I said, I'm trying new things, but it is interesting to me though that height.
There's four of them are height.
Three of them are height. Unless I do zorbing in the trees.
That would be
cool.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But the edge walk in CN Tower, I think that would be super cool, where you walk on the outside of the CN Tower.
Yeah, but not only do you walk on the outside, you walk on the outside facing downwards.
Yeah, so you're like looking down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to do that. Now, this one might throw you off. My number one thing on my high five list post-COVID
is watch Titanic.
No, once we are able to travel.
Okay.
I am going to run with the bulls in Pamplona, Spain.
Oh.
I want to go run with the bulls.
Is
have you ever seen those people?
Is that why you wore the horn on your head?
Right? Psychologically preparing for this thing. I did not plan that, but that's the way the brain works. You see, isn't that look crazy, though? They run out and bull. You say, well, Tim, what about, you know, why don't you just go?
I value my kidneys. Thank you.
Right?
There's no way.
I guess there's more of a risk to that one.
I won't even run
with
the cows.
Running with the bulls every July in Pamplona. So it's not going to happen. So I've still got another year, but a year from now, I would like to be running with the bulls in Pamplona. I don't think I'd run very long because I don't want to be gored either.
I don't want to run very long.
I think just the fact that
that's
I'm in
be
the crowd
splattered on the friggin' ground.
That's what I want to do, though. I want to push it. I want to push some things. I want to go high. I'm going to go high. So hey, it is cannabis related.
High.
Three of these. Three of these are high. High five. Those are my high five.
That's a good high five.
My top five post-COVID. Trying to push myself, trying to try new things, trying to go out of my comfort zone. And I think everybody should do that.
I just want to have sex on a beach somewhere.
Right? High five.
Although it's got to be a virgin because I don't drink.
Oh, I see what you did there. Nicely done. Nicely done.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about strains.
Yeah.
Since you just talked about an alcoholic beverage, let's jump back now into
strains. Well, I said a virgin.
Oh, right. That's right. You did say, yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay, true. And, so that's just a fruity drink.
Yeah. And this is a fruity cannabis strain.
All right. So Mary Jane strains?
Yes. Mary Jane strain is Pink Kush, specifically from Pure Sun Farms. Now, this licensed producer, Pure Sun Farms, is out in BC. And this strain, Pink Kush, is one of their signature strains. Okay. Which is not a surprise because, I mean, Pink Kush should be a signature strain, in my opinion, for everybody. It's one of my favorites. It was really good. I just want to say it was really tasty. But it is an indica dominant, so shorter, fatter plant, bushy leaves. THC content is anywhere from 18 to 25.
Okay.
The terpenes are myrcene, bisabolol, humulene, limonene, and caryophyllene.
Now, for those who have been paying attention, we learned about terpenes last episode.
We did.
Right?
Yes.
All right. So see that? See? I see what you're doing. You're building. Building on things. Okay.
I am. Some users, while consuming this strain, have experienced feelings of relaxation, happiness, and of course, the euphoric feeling.
Okay.
Now, Timmy, I'm going to ask you.
Yes, I was waiting for this question.
What are some of the side effects that people have said that they experience when using this particular strain of cannabis?
Well, for this particular strain of cannabis, I am going to go out on a limb and say that some of the side effects are red eyes and dry mouth.
That is correct.
Right.
Yeah. Good job. Yeah. See, you're learning.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've pretty much nailed that. It's with
or
this.
Or horned it.
And horned it. Every brand of cannabis.
It's true.
It's red eyes and dry mouth.
It's the glossy eye look.
Which is also how I feel waking up in the morning.
Yeah, you do look pretty.
Red eyes, dry mouth. I didn't smoke a thing the night before.
No, but you did sit in a room with me for about 3 hours while I smoked.
It's true. We are still wondering about that whole secondhand experience.
Secondhand smoke and secondhand high happens. You just swear that you don't, it doesn't affect you.
I do not. I am going on record to say that after many hours of not necessarily trying to experiment, but experimenting with being in the presence and inhaling and experiencing secondhand cannabis smoke. I am not a doctor. I just play one here on the podcast. But through my personal experience, I do not believe it has affected me one bit. So take that for what it's worth.
As you sit there in a onesie.
Fair enough. We have something special today. We have a new segment.
Yes, that's right.
I went down to perform in Pasadena, California.
Yes, at the Ice House.
At the Ice House, where a lot of the legends have performed comedy. For those of you who do not know, I'm a stand-up comic. And so I went down there to perform at the Clean Comedy Challenge. Mm-hmm. And you and I went down there. So this was what, about 6 months, 7 months before COVID hit. You know, we had plans to go back down there and visit again.
It was like July 2019. Yeah.
And we got picked up at the airport by Martin Franks.
Oh, my God. In no way when we called Uber did we think we were going to get such a treat.
Martin Franks is a, surprisingly, a very funny guy.
Yeah.
And
he was like a saint, I tell you, because the whole way down there, I was like, oh my God, as soon as we land, I need a joint. I need to find weed. I don't know what I'm going to do because I haven't left Canada in like my entire life almost. But oh my God. Yeah. It was like an angel was sent that day.
So Martin Franks is a cannabis user and an Uber driver.
Yeah.
And a aspiring comedian.
Yeah.
So he's super funny. It was an absolute pleasure. And so we decided that we would start up a segment called the Duber Minute.
Yes.
And where Martin Franks would share some insight. Whatever it is, we have no goals or plans. It was just like, Martin,
you just want to hang out.
Let us know. Tell us a story.
Yeah.
And so let's find out what Martin Franks has to say in our very first episode of the Duber Minute.
Hey guys, what's happening? Wow, I just completely forgot what I was gonna say. I had a thought, a kind of a powerful thought I was gonna share, and I just completely lost it. Does that ever happen to you? You have something you're gonna say, it's like on the tip of your tongue, and then you just lose it. It goes out of your mind completely. It happens to me a lot. Or sometimes I just can't even think of like my next thought, you know, or just can't think of something to say. It's weird, you know, or sometimes I'll say something and then I'm like, why did I say that? You know, why did I even say that? And what was I talking about? Or what did I mean by that? It's weird, you know, to think about. And it's kind of happening right now. You know, it's like, what am I saying? Why am I saying any of it? What am I thinking? Why can't I think of something else to say instead, you know? It's kind of intense when you start thinking about it. And then you think, why was I thinking about that? And why was I thinking about that? And why am I saying I'm thinking about it? Wow, you know? Huh. So, you know what? I'll just leave you with that. I guess that's the thought today. It's like, what is that all about? What is thinking all about? You know, what is a thought all about? Think about it. Yeah.
Well,
I can't even. I can relate on so many levels.
Like, I see what he's thinking, though.
Like, you know?
You get it?
I do. I have those moments all the time.
All right, I've seen you have those moments.
I know. And the worst part is just like you just keep talking and you can't make your mouth stop. That was a good observation.
All right. So we'll invite Martin to join us every once in a while.
I like that
from
idea.
From his Uber. So Martin Franks from the on our first episode of the Duber Minute.
I love that name, the Duber Minute.
Right?
Yeah.
Martin Franks, you want to? We'll actually put a link to him in the descriptions, both on podcast and in YouTube. Check out Martin Franks, but he'll join us here on the show doing a Duber Minute every once in a while. So, but that. Definitely, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to think about that as I think. Do you know how many times?
Is that one of those moments?
No, because here's the thing. I do that.
You do it on stage quite often, actually.
Right?
Yeah.
How many times am I performing and all of a sudden I'll be like people, actually somebody just said, right? Somebody said, you should stand on stage.
I said that and say nothing.
Was it you?
Yeah, just get up there and say, I told you I was going to do that for my first bit.
Yeah, just go up there and do nothing.
And then just say thank you.
And then I realized, well, that I do that. That I go up on stage sometimes and I'm just sitting there and I wonder, should I have said that?
Yeah, but you're a different kind of breed. You have said things on stage, like literally, babe, you got 10 minutes to get up there and get down. And you're like, yep. And then you get up there and you tell the story that you wanted to tell, because you're like, I'm going to get up and tell that one story. And then you go on another, like, I don't know, man, 15-minute, like, long thing. And then you get off the stage, and I was like, why did you bring up this? And you say, what? I said, what? Because you don't remember it all. But no. You do say a lot in 15 minutes.
Well, so. To be fair, for those watching, I do that when I'm on my own clock.
That's true. Yes, that is true.
If you hire me for a gig, I just want to thank you, manager
yes.
and agent,
yes.
for making that clear. If you hire me, I stick to my time. But on my own tours,
I go. Wait, was that sarcasm? The thank you?
Maybe. I go where the thought leads me.
That's true. On your tours, you are. The only reason I say it's a negative thing on your tours is because the headliner that we bring mm-hmm. is nervous, I think, that they feel like they if they take their full hour, then they go over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I always tell them, though. I always have those conversations and say, look, no matter what I do.
No, there was the I can't remember who it was. I think it was maybe Chris Weinland. I had to tell him over and over. I was like, dude, you get an hour.
No matter what Timmy does.
I told him, like, yeah.
Timmy's show, no matter what Timmy does.
I said, he could be up there till 9 o'clock and we're supposed to leave, but you get your hour. They came to see you.
I get what Martin Franks is going through, though. I do that all the time. You just go where the thought takes you. And that happens on this show, too. How many times have we said, we're going to do this, 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 and we end up getting to our stuff, but we go down these trails.
I didn't even get to blow my kazoo on 420 because I said I'd do it after, and then I forgot.
You just got to do it when you think about it.
That's true. Speaking of that, should we get on to the next thing?
Let's do that, because you got we started this segment up, and I think you're going to have no problems coming up with other things for it. But the segment is called What Gets Me Going?
Yes.
And some things really get you going. And now that we've started the segment, you are just like going, there's so many things that get me going. So ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't realize that there was so much that bothered me.
Here's MJ.
Yeah.
Blowing off some steam. What gets you going, MJ?
Well, I'll tell you what gets me going. The whole indica or sativa thing. Every time you go into a place and they're like, oh, what do you want to buy? You want to uppity up or you want to down or high? Do you want to feel like hyper and active or do you want to feel like couch lock? Indica or sativa? That drives me nuts because, okay, I'll just calm down a little bit. Let's talk about the science behind cannabis.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're going from rant to... science.
Yes, I need to. I need
to
calm. Yes, I will come back to rant.
All right.
I just need to calm myself down to give you a little bit of the facts first. Yes, please do. Cannabis is a plant of the dicot family. Or sorry, it's a dicot plant from the Cannabaceae family.
Okay.
That's Cannabaceae.
Cannabaceae.
Cannabaceae. The genus is cannabis. The species is Cannabis sativa L, which nobody talks about any of this that I've just said.
I'd never heard any of this, but I've never heard of a lot of it.
What we talk about is the subspecies, sativa, indica, and nobody ever really generally talks about this one either, but it's the lesser known cousin, ruderalis.
Oh, I have heard you many times talk about indica and sativa, but that one I've never heard of.
Okay.
What is it again?
Ruderalis.
Ruderalis.
Yes. It also is more known by the word autoflower.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So the differences between these three subspecies are how they look. It's basically how they look. This is how we're identifying these plants. Yep. Not by how much THC it has. Not by CBD. Not by CBG. Not by any other factors other than its physical appearance. So, for example, sativa is a very tall and skinny plant with narrow leaves. Not fat, narrow. Can grow like 18 feet tall.
Yeah.
It has a longer flowering time. So it takes longer for your buds to produce to the end. And it is light sensitive. So you can grow it inside and dependent on the amount of light and dark it gets, it flowers accordingly. Now, indica, the opposite, it's short and bushy. Generally, 6 feet is like the tallest, and that's if you do it indoor, sometimes outdoor, but you have to start it really early. It is also light sensitive, but it has a shorter flowering time.
Okay.
Indica is generally the one that you see that people plant outdoors in Canada because of the amount of growing time that we have. We don't have enough sunlight in our area, in our hemisphere, in order to grow sativa plants from start to finish outdoors because we have winter.
Right.
So
indica and sativa are very much like classic comedy duos. The tall, thin guy and the short, fat guy.
Are you
going to
say Laurel and Hardy?
Like Laurel and Hardy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And then ruderalis, which is also known as ditchweed.
Ditchweed, yeah, because you just throw it out?
No, there is a reason for that, why they call it ditch weed. And it's because it literally is generally found in the sides of the ditch in other countries. It can grow anywhere. That's why they call it ditch weed. Yeah, It'll grow in the ditch.
Yeah.
It is not photosensitive or light sensitive. And they only grow to 1 to 2 feet tall. So the reason why a lot of people like ruderalis or autoflowers is because it's like the idiot proof of growing. You take this plant, and it doesn't matter if you give it too much light or not enough light, because it's still going to flower regardless. But, I mean, you're only going to get a 1 to 2 foot tall plant, so how much cannabis can you really get off that?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So there is more to the cannabis plant than just indica, sativa, what type of high you want. We need to start talking about the entourage effect. How much CBD does it have? What's the THC levels? What are the terpenes that are in it? Mm. Let's talk about everything that is encompassing of that plant and not just indica sativa. It drives me nuts.
Because whenever I've gone into a cannabis store, that's legitimately, I hear that all the time. It seems that simple in my brain.
Yep.
As a non-consumer, when I go in, it literally feels like here is our sativa.
Yeah.
And here is our indica. Which one do you want?
Okay. So that's like saying, do you want a Pepsi product or do you want a Coke product?
Right.
And saying they're all going to be the same. They're all going to make you feel the same. Well,
right.
No.
It's because not like, do you want a Coke or a Pepsi? It's, do you want a Coke product? And Coke also makes...
There's ginger like ale.
A Sprite version and a 7-Up version. And they both have their own root beer. They both have their own...
And you know what? Right. That 7-Up is going to taste almost just like that Sprite.
Sort of.
So that indica is going to feel just like similar to the sativa, maybe, depending if it has the same terps.
They're oversimplifying it.
It's... They're not getting into it enough. They're way too oversimplifying. Like, let's just call it weed and tell me how much it costs and I'll buy it by that. You know, this one's $10 a gram, that one's $14 a gram. Well, I think I'll take the $10 a gram.
Just take the cheaper. Yeah. Okay.
You know? So, but it's deceiving, because if somebody wants to smoke a joint to go to sleep and they walk into a place and they say, or even check online and it says, would you like indica or sativa? And they buy the indica thinking it's going to put them into couch.
Right.
Like we've been told.
You've told me that one, yeah.
The indica couch, yeah. Right? Indica.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen. This person can consume that cannabis and get really hyper and like energized almost. And now they're wondering why they are having even more trouble sleeping.
Well, and it's not just what it may do in general, because you've often talked about that it can, the same weed can affect a different person a different way.
Absolutely.
So it isn't just a matter of, hey, this could also, yeah, I can, okay, all
well,
right.
Well, there's many different factors that affect how your body takes and uses cannabis, and it differs for every person, so...
So even within the cannabis industry, you are saying that there isn't enough education and teaching going on. So, because I would sit there and say, oh, well, you know, I wouldn't know that. But you're saying, like, I mean, literally the people selling it aren't really selling it.
Well, the problem I feel is just like with food back in the day, like just recently, I think they said, okay, each food product must have this like nutrition label. And on that nutrition label, it must have calorie intake, must have fat percentage and all this stuff that they said, this has to be on this thing. Mm-hmm. We want to see this information. I really feel like cannabis companies, any producer of cannabis should know for at least like for the person purchasing, what cannabinoids are in it, what terpenes are in it, like how... Like this all affects everybody differently. And we need the education to be able to talk about these things because, like you said, I might be able to smoke this pink kush and it's the best strain ever, but somebody else can't smoke it, even though they have very similar things, problems as I do, same sex as I am, same height, same weight. there's so many different factors that change the outcome. And I think the more we talk about these things with people, mm-hmm. the more we'll be able to compare stories and say, you know, well, I can't smoke haze, or I can't, like, personally, I can't touch diesel at all. Anything gas or diesel is no good for me. It just, like, my heart starts pounding and elevated and I start sweating. It's no good.
All right.
Yeah.
So indica and sativa.
Yeah. Just throw it out when it comes to how it makes you feel. Stop doing that.
Fair enough.
Stop doing that.
I like that one. That was a good rant. That was a good rant.
Thank you.
I just want to share a little briefly here before we wrap up today's episode. I didn't even write it on my cards. I got it more written on a piece of paper here today.
Going that classic DARE program.
Classic clip. Well, here's the thing. So we knew knew DARE Day was going to be our theme. And the very first thing I thought of when I heard DARE wasn't, I dare you to do this. I immediately thought of, like, the early 90s, the DARE program.
Say No to Drugs.
Say No to Drugs. That's when it started. The DARE program started in 1983. Mm-hmm. It was by, I think it was the chief of police from the LAPD. There was the big war on drugs. I mean, crack cocaine was taken on this new life down in LA. Mm-hmm. And so they started this program. And of course, then Nancy Reagan jumps on with the whole Just Say No to Drugs campaign. There was a large change in the way people perceived drugs. I think there was, I forget the exact numbers, but it was some really low percentage, like under 10% of the population felt that drugs was a serious problem in America. Mm-hmm. And by the time the Just Say No campaign had got going, 65% or something, like over 60% of the population thought drugs was a major problem.
Wow.
So,
sounds like a successful campaign.
Right. So
we need to hire them.
That's what I thought about that program. And so I started to look into it a little bit and I said, you know, all of a sudden I found that I was like, wait a minute, there's something that I'd like to talk about today. And that is, it was a program like this. Now, from 1983 to 2009, it ran, and there were lots of studies saying, like, it's not really successful. And I think other people felt it was so focused on just say no. Yep. Like, just say no. There's no reasons, no nothing. It's like, it's going to, you know, ruin your life. Just say no. And we know that when you tell people just say no, especially when you tell kids, kids say yes. Mm-hmm. Like there's a natural inclination if we're not giving them proper information. I do not know. Listen, if you were in the DARE program and you know about the DARE program, I do not know the ins and outs of the DARE program. I'm not even using this as a thing to say horrible program, not horrible. I'm just saying that in history, this program was started and they were driven towards this Just Say No campaign.
Now, okay? Were they the ones that did the egg in the frying pan?
I don't know who did that, but that was a good commercial. That's stuck in your head, right?
This it's is
your
brain. The only one. This is your brain.
And this is your brain
this
on
is
drugs.
Your brain on drugs. Right? Tasty brains.
So, and kind of like the way you just talked about with the indica and the sativa, it's an oversimplifying of this is what drugs overarching everything, which of course they don't include. Caffeine in that statement.
But that's a legal drug.
Right. But they didn't say just say no to illegal drugs.
But that's what they implied.
They said
because
just say no to
don't
drugs.
Look at caffeine as a drug.
I know.
Same like sugar.
I know. And that's, I think that's wrong. I think people are again, they're picking and choosing. They're like, well, we like coffee.
Yeah, but coffee is considered a food.
Well, yeah.
Now or a beverage.
Now we're going down a whole other rabbit hole, which we can maybe do on a different thing. But so let me just point out a couple things that I read, though. And it said, marijuana is positively correlated with alcohol use and cigarette use. That's what they had figured out back then, implying that a lot of marijuana users also drink and smoke. Now, maybe that was true in the 80s. I don't necessarily see that now. A lot mm-hmm. of the people I hear with, a lot of people that, in fact, that I've met through you are like, no, are you kidding me? I wouldn't, not a chance. You know, there's a lot of non-drinkers.
Yeah. The majority of the people I know smoke and don't drink.
People use marijuana also consume more legal and illegal drugs. So, they were saying that, you know, again, they were referred to it as the gateway drug, and that was kind of the way in, right?
Gateway to the fridge, maybe.
So, again, I'm not here to say yes or no to the program, but that's what the program was talking about. But in 2009, they decided we need to switch it up because things weren't being as effective, and they started this program called Keeping It Real, which I believe is still active today, and they've seen a lot more success. But here's why I think they're having more success, and it's because they've left the focus of this might be oversimplifying as well, but they've left the focus of anti-drug and going more to how do we teach kids to use reason and information and rational decision-making, like developing rational decision-making skills so that when they're presented with something, they can figure out, is this right or wrong for me? As opposed to a blanket statement of say no to that, say yes to this. It's about going, we're going to give you information, and we're going to teach you how to use that information to make a better decision. Now,
I'm concerned of what information they're giving out now, because they've been saying no for years.
Whatever the program's doing, I think a lot of stuff has to come down in the home anyways. I think, you know, whether parents like to believe it or not, they still, even though they say my kids don't like me and they don't pay attention to me and they just stay in the room all day, you are I've discovered this as a youth pastor. I could spend, you know, 5 hours with your kid once a week, but there's a good chance that your kid is going to follow your habits. I was with a lot of kids who couldn't stand their parents, legitimately couldn't stand them and the habits their parents were involved in, and ended up falling into those same patterns, despite the fact that I was trying to love on them and share, you know, an alternative thing, because you as a parent still are the number one source of where your kids are watching. Anyways, my point of all that, though, is to say, I think at the very least, they have hit on something that I believe is very important in this whole conversation. It's one of the reasons why we're having this podcast, is because it's not so much about just flat out saying cannabis good or cannabis bad. It's about having the discussion and giving people all of the information and resources needed for them to say, cannabis might be good for me. It's not good for me. And somebody watching or listening might say, it's never good, it's never bad. Look, if you've made that decision based on information that hasn't been funneled through your own bias, but that you've actually watched and read other sources, then I respect that decision. But all I'm saying is I want people, and this is why I know for a fact that there are people who are watching what I'm doing on this podcast, and just because it is cannabis related, there will be people who have known me as a clean comic and performing in the church for so many years and a Christian background that are like, what is happening? Like, and I might even lose fans over this. Because it's,
which is crazy, because you don't even consume cannabis. Right. Imagine there are people in life that get pushed out of families and friends because they are cannabis consumers, and you're not even consuming.
But that's the problem. People are unwilling to have the discussion and unwilling to make decisions based on actual evidence. And so this kind of just brought me down that rabbit hole to say, okay, this is really the thing. It's not just a matter of just say no to drugs. It's a matter of let's teach people the real information from both sides, and then also teach them the skills of how to utilize that information. Because if you have information, you don't know how to use the information.
It sounds good. It sounds what they're doing is good, but I have trust issues, and
yeah, and what
I'm just a little skeptical.
I'm not even bringing this. I'm just using that program as the one example to get to the point of going what I believe in, and what I think the world needs to move towards right now is a world that looks at cannabis as an opportunity to talk about it. And so that's why we're doing this. And so when I heard DARE, it led me to this and it led me to that. And it led me to sit there and say, you know what? That's what I want to do. And so if you're watching this show and you're a doobie, That's awesome. But if you're watching the show and you're a newbie,
that's awesome too.
That's awesome too. That, in fact, that's, you know, I want that. I want people to be listening to our show saying, hey, you know what? I don't understand what's going on. I may even be opposed to what's going on, but let's hear it out. Let's see what's happening. Let's, you know, I just want to have the talk. And that's important to me. So,
well, we can't have the talk. That's on television already.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, our show is better.
I was going to say, I'm not really a fan.
Well,
of theirs, not ours.
Shall we wrap it up?
Yes, we shall.
I think we had some good rants today, some funny stuff. Another episode in the books.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun.
It was. Let's go grab something to eat.
All right.
I am Timmy Boyle.
Mary Jane Baker. Stay lifted.
And keep on laughing.
There it is.
One of these days. Cheers.